parmi eux, 85% sont restés dans ces centres et ont accepté.
Today we are opening a new chapter of our struggle with the migration crisis called Back to Schengen.
Il y a des no-borders. Il y a des extrémistes.
France's Interior Minister Bernard Cazeneuve condemns the tactics of the activist group No Borders, accused by the government of stirring up tension in the jungle migrant camp in Calais. The leftist group's members were present on Monday when migrants clashed with authorities as demolition teams began dismantling the southern part of a camp. Police fired tear gas and used water cannons to disperse migrants, whom they claim were encouraged by No Border activists. No Borders claim French authorities are using them as a scapegoat to deflect attention away from their own heavy-handed tactics. With different groups pushing competing visions, how do journalists separate fact from fiction? Chris Moore, a reporter at France 24, gives me his view.
The French authorities say that the likes of No Borders have been active in terms of trying to discourage people to go into the French asylum system. Now, the French are well aware that not all of these people want to. Many of them want to continue to go to the United Kingdom, the majority of them perhaps. But since last autumn, about 3,000. It's not a huge number, but when you consider that the numbers in Calais compared to what's going on the border between Greece and Macedonia, for example, are actually pretty small. We're talking about a few thousand people here. It's not insignificant. No Borders have been accused of stirring some of the tensions, some of the trouble that we've seen in the camp since these evacuations started. There was tear gas fired on Monday, for example, and there's been these kind of standoffs over tents that have been set alight, shacks that have been set alight, and they're also accusing them over that, accusing them effectively of actively seeking to confront the authorities. I personally have seen a group of activists and migrants setting fire to one tent. I can't tell you exactly how every tent was set on fire. Then you obviously get accusations flying around in the other direction that they were set on fire by the police to make the inhabitants of the camp look bad. I personally have seen no evidence of that.
How do you try and pick through all of that and get to the truth?
It's a difficult situation for everybody involved. I mean, as far as the French authorities are concerned, it's slightly absurd. I mean, they're being asked by the British government to stop a group of people who don't want to be in France from leaving France, which makes it already a difficult situation. At the same time, many of these people are intent on getting to the United Kingdom, but that's become increasingly difficult.
Who are the activists behind the government's rhetoric? Founded in Germany in the 1990s, No Borders has members from countries across Europe, including Britain. They have been present during scenes of violence in Calais, which in January this year resulted in migrants boarding a UK ferry. Guillaume Deltay, a reporter on RFI's French service, says the group is a kaleidoscope of people who genuinely want to help migrants.
I've been to Calais quite a few times now, the first time I came to Calais, there was no jungle. But there were squats in Calais, and most of them were opened by No Borders. And they just went into empty houses, opened their houses, mostly to most vulnerable people among the migrant population, like women and children, and opened the house for them to have a roof and to live in better conditions. You have people in the jungle now that you can present probably as No Border, that they would just sit on the roof of small houses or small constructions that they have in the jungle in order for the deconstruction company not to be able to destroy those places.
The activist group, who have not replied to interview requests from RFI, said it works with migrants in Calais to hold public protests against their plight. But the group's activity has caused tensions within the camp, and on Monday, two of its members were arrested. For Guillaume Deltay, the starting point of any story is here.
That's a story. Those people, according to the authorities, they throw stones at policemen who were there, according to the government, again, to protect the workers hired to destroy the houses in the jungle. Two of them went to trial this Thursday, so you have to report on that. That's part of the story of what's happening in Calais today.
Telling the story without any prisms or influence is a challenge journalists regularly face and involves constant fact-checking, Delta explains.
So you have to ask people who are in the jungle almost every day, do you feel like it's only No Border movements who are creating this tension, or is there a attention here. And most of the people who are every day in the jungle, most of the volunteers or most of the people from other organizations working in the jungle will tell you, yes, there are no border militants, no border members here in Calais, but no, they don't do as much as what the government is saying. And most of them are quite pacifist. So you report both sides of the stories.
But are journalists telling the whole story? Veteran war photographer John McHugh, who today runs an international news agency, doesn't think so. He says he was disappointed with the media's coverage of Monday's clashes in Calais.
What I saw monitoring the stories were an awful lot of pictures of riot police, an awful lot of pictures of water cannon and helmets and shields. But I didn't see much of the other side, to be honest. And one of our contributors sent through two photographs to me, which I thought were incredibly poignant. One was a little boy, 6 years old, standing in front of a whole lot of riot police and just looking with his eyes wide open at the destruction of them. So she had turned around, instead of focusing on the destruction and the violence and the chainsaws, she had turned around and photographed a little boy looking at, you know, another home being lost. She also sent us a photograph of one of the volunteers in the camp holding a mirror up to the riot police and in an attempt, I think, to either shame them or to show them what was happening behind their back, which they weren't looking at. And I thought those pictures were incredibly powerful and much more powerful than a lot of the images that I saw coming out. I'm not sure that it's getting the level of coverage here that it deserves. I mean, the simple fact is this problem is not going away. We saw a fence being knocked down in Greece the other day. We're going to see more of that. Desperate people are forced to take desperate measures to try and escape danger. And we would all do the same thing. I don't think it's getting the amount of coverage and depth of coverage that it deserves, because this is an issue that affects all of us.
Thousands of kilometres away at the Greece-Macedonia border, desperate scenes also erupted this week when hundreds of stranded refugees tried to smash down a gate guarded by security forces. Our correspondent Phil Warwick was there. He described some of the challenges he faces reporting on the migrant crisis.
With regard to the clashes themselves, which resulted in tear gas fired from the Macedonian side, what concerned me the most were mothers and children mixed among the group of young men. I happened to be facing the barbed wire border as young men standing next to me rammed the gate using steel poles. And just behind me was a mother with her two children in tears. She could not move forward. She could not move backwards due to the mass of people. And the moment the tear gas was released, you lose all sense of orientation. And as a parent, you can't stop this gas from choking your child. And quite a few children and parents were affected by this. So one has to think what leads to parents bring their children and to have them there in that particular situation in that particular time.
The Idomeni camp, which normally holds a capacity of 1,500 refugees, now has over 10,000, according to Greek officials who are buckling under the pressure. With more refugees arriving desperate to reach Europe, tensions are running high, and reporting the story has become increasingly difficult, explains Warwick.
You can't be everywhere or be covering every single aspect or fact affecting every single family or individual there. What I would say is that considering now the amount of people, what is extraordinary is the level of calmness amongst the refugees and migrants. I would say that about 50% of refugees that are there are women and children. They come from collective societies, and it seems that there is this kind of balance maintained there, and you draw from that. You see how they interact between each other, and in the midst of this chaos, what, as I say, Western journalists, you can take back that whilst all this madness is all around you, how one can keep one's sort of level-headedness in the situation.
A situation which is unlikely to end soon. Reporters can draw inspiration from the people whose suffering they witness, but they also face the challenge of keeping a cool head themselves so as to report these historic events fairly and honestly. And with that, we end this week's International Media with me, Christina Urquello.